to VBAC Birth Stories, a podcast where Australians share their journey to a vaginal birth after cesarean.
We are a safe haven for women to share their own VBAC journeys and through these personal experiences, educate and empower listeners.
I'm your host, Mel.
And I'm your host, Steph. And this is VBAC Birth Stories. Hi everyone, we hope you're all well. In today's episode, we're meeting Kirsten. She's a mum of four and a doula living in Western Australia. It was her first birth in her local rural hospital that taught her about consent and trauma in the birth ward. And she speaks about the fact that having a natural birth didn't equate to a positive experience. The second time around, she found herself pregnant with twins, and while she was able to birth her first twin vaginally, she was taken into theatre for her caesarean when twin B wasn't descending. In her third pregnancy, Kirsten completely changed her model of care, opting for a home birth with her private midwife's guidance to have her VBAC. We hear about the differences between all of her births and the decisions Kirsten made along the way. The biggest takeaway for me really was the fact that vaginal birth doesn't mean there's an absence of physical or mental trauma for women, and likewise for caesarean births. There's always a benefit in being aware of consent and informed decision making, regardless of your birth's end point. Wherever you're at in your VBAC journey, we hope that you find Kirsten's story helpful and enjoy her very unique birth stories.
So we'll get started. Did you want to start just by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you live, your family, your kids?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Kirsten. I live in Pinjarra in Western Australia and I have four kids. So my eldest is 12, two 11-year-olds and a 5-year-old. And I am a doula.
Was that something that came about after you had the kids, or was it something you were interested in pre-having kids?
So I always thought I would get into midwifery, and after having my home birth with my youngest, I enrolled in uni and stuff like that, and then enrolled in a doula course to sort of get that hands-on experience. And it was something to do while I was doing the degree. But once going to my first couple of births and things like that, I realized that that was the role for me, not the midwifery role. So canned the uni degree and have continued on with this path.
Do you want to tell us, before, I suppose, you fell pregnant with your first child, what your preconceived notions of childbirth were?
I had watched my horse have her foal when I was probably 15, 16. So to me, birth just worked because that was so undisturbed. We suspected she was pregnant and that was all. And then one day she had a foal. So to me, it was just something that we did. And I just assumed that everyone would be able to birth at home or in hospital or wherever they wanted to, sort of thing.
For your first pregnancy, what sort of model of care did you go with at that time?
So I lived outside of the area that covered our community midwifery program, and I didn't know that private midwives existed at that time. So I chose midwifery group practice inside a hospital. Because our hospital was classed as regional, they have limits on BMI and stuff like that, and was actually kicked out of their MGP in case I reached their weight limit. So I ended up with a I ended up birthing at this hospital, but had to go with a private obstetrician for no reason when I look back on it, other than in case I put on too much weight during my pregnancy.
So are you saying that your BMI, is this what they used for determining whether you can be suitable for the MGP?
Yeah.
So you were saying that your BMI was actually in range at the time that you fell pregnant, but because they feared that it would go out of range during your pregnancy, they said, we can't look after you?
That's correct. And I was only, like, it was my first baby. I really didn't know how the system works. So I just went, okay, well, then that's what I need to do. But knowing what I know now, I go, what the heck?
Yeah. You went then through a private obstetrician, or was it a specific obstetrician in a public hospital? How did that work?
So you pay him as a private obstetrician, but he works within, because the public, our public hospital here is privately owned. So you're still there as a public patient, but the private obstetricians can work out of there, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, it does. I was going to just ask you, is that the parameters that they set in terms of high risk or not high risk, is that different in a regional hospital setting or?
Yeah, in Western Australia, we only have two hospitals that will actually take you to birth in if your BMI is over 40, I think it is. And they're our two tertiary hospitals. So if you live in anywhere outside of those two areas, you can be traveling like up to an hour to a hospital to give birth in.
So how did that pregnancy unfold with the private obstetrician that you were forced to see essentially?
Yeah.
Was your weight on your mind during this pregnancy? Because that was a factor in why you couldn't have MGP. Like what set the tone of this pregnancy and what was it like? Yeah,
it actually wasn't up until then because I had quite severe morning sickness the whole way through. So I actually lost weight during my pregnancy. To me, I was sort of like really couldn't understand why I was being like I had to go see the obstetricians. I didn't have any other high risk factors until the very end, like my blood pressure went up a bit. So really there wasn't a lot of need for the private obstetrician.
I would sort of wonder like what is it about that is deemed high risk? Because I hear this a lot from women about having higher BMIs and being placed in higher risk just because of that, but there's no surrounding health factors, there's no other issues with the baby.
I can understand that it can like lead to things like high blood pressure and gestational diabetes and stuff, but when all of those things have been screened for, there was literally no other risk factors. Yeah. And like I said, I was actually within range. It was just an in case, so I don't know.
So what ended up happening in that first pregnancy? How was it? Did you have any other complications? Did the morning sickness settle down? And
the morning sickness did not settle down at all. And it's the same for all my pregnancies. I wouldn't call it HG, but I'm just sick the whole way through. So the pregnancy went really well. I ended up going post-dates, like at the end. So was asked to be induced. Because again, our hospital has a policy, they don't like to let you go past 40 plus 10. So I ended up coming in at 40 plus 10 to be induced, and my waters broke while I was waiting for the doctors.
Oh, wow. And then did your contraction start shortly after?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So the labor itself, again, I'm not really sure why some things happened or because I ended up being augmented with a Syntocin. I still don't really understand why, because the whole labor from when my waters broke to when baby was born was still only 8 hours for a first baby. So it's not like it was a drawn out labor at all. And my blood pressure spiked while I was in labor. But otherwise it wasn't a nice labor by any means of it. I walked away really quite disappointed, I suppose, because I had that idea that everything just worked and I ideally would have liked a home birth. So to end up in a model of care that I already wasn't expecting. Once I sort of got into that system, I didn't realize how pressured I would be to do everything from monitoring to being told if I wanted pain relief, I'd have to get out of the shower. So just little things like that, I think, steered me off track while laboring. But I ended up having, I sort of feel lucky to say that I ended up having a vaginal birth, but did have quite severe tearing.
Were you birthing in the water at this
no,
hospital?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, so we don't have pools in the hospital.
Oh, okay. Do you want to tell us about like how the actual birth sort of happened? Like what did anything contribute to the severe tearing that you may you think?
I think definitely. Yeah. Well, being hooked up to Syntocin, I was given pethidine as well without consent. So I really wasn't conscious a lot of the time. And then was pretty much coached to push once the obstetrician got there, because she was quite close to being there, but was told like push. So that's what I did. And she pretty much just came out too quickly.
Were you given the induction drip because your waters had broken and they were just keen to get things started, or what was the...
To be honest, I don't think I was actually told why. And getting my notes from that birth is something that I would like to do, because even with the knowledge I have now as a doula, I don't understand why I was hooked up to the Syntocin. My waters broke and they came and checked me like 3 hours later, and I was already 7 centimetres then. I was contracting. I was definitely progressing.
Do you want to tell us what the recovery was like with that birth?
So physically healing wasn't too bad. I did have a lot of pain during intercourse afterwards for, well, since I birthed again, basically, that was very hard sort of on my relationship, because it was sort of like hard for him to understand why I would say it was painful all the time. And when I couldn't really put into words what was going on, it was, yeah, made that side of things hard. And emotionally was really hard again, because there are a lot of things that happened that I didn't consent to, and I felt bullied, and it didn't go the way I had even like ever expected. So emotionally it took a long time to get over.
Did you ever talk to anyone about that pain during intercourse after birth, or did you assume that it was just something you'd have to now live with? Or?
Yeah, I just assumed that it was normal. I had had stitches, so I just thought it was scar tissue or whatever sort of thing. I had no idea that there was health professionals that you could go and talk to about things like this.
What was the tear, the degrees that they mentioned? Did they tell you?
Yeah, so I tore all the way into my anal sphincter, so a 4th degree tear.
Well, how big was your baby? Was that a factor as well or no?
No, she was only 3.3 kilos. She wasn't a big baby.
Even though you had a vaginal birth, did it, because it wasn't sort of, I mean, it sounds like it wasn't altogether positive for you, did that turn you off having another birth, or what were your feelings following that birth?
Surprisingly, not at all. I would definitely say I had birth trauma walking away from that birth. But when I fell pregnant with the twins, like, she was only a year old. So there's 20 months between the two. And even though I knew it was twins this time, I straight away went, okay, so how can we attempt to have a vaginal birth this time? Again, my local hospital went, oh, well, you're having twins. You can have a Caesar here. We won't let you try to even attempt it. So I chose to go to our tertiary hospital an hour away from where we live so I could try a vaginal birth. So it didn't turn me off birth at all. I don't know how, but.
Yeah, no, that's amazing, because, yeah, I suppose some people, you have even the first birth experience, even though it's a vaginal birth, if they've had difficult tearing, like you spoke about, they'll often elect for cesarean subsequently and, yeah, sort of be a little bit anti-vaginal birth.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a result. So you were sort of pushed down the path of a suggested cesarean for the twins. You wouldn't be supported in a vaginal delivery for the twins. Was that mainly because of it being a regional hospital and they saw that as too high risk, or
they didn't
have the skills to deliver twins vaginally?
I really think it's just because they don't have the 24-hour staff and the resources in case there was like a real emergency that happened during delivery.
Did you entertain home birth prior to this pregnancy at all? Like, did that cross your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing I said when I found out I was pregnant to my husband was, awesome, we're pregnant, we're having a home birth this time. And then we went to the ultrasound and she said, there's 2 heartbeats. And I went, no, there goes my home birth.
Were you thrilled to be having the twins? Were you excited about it? Or did you feel like, oh my God, there's 2 of them. How are we going to cope?
I was not thrilled. My husband was absolutely, like, he was calling people while we were still in the sonographer's room when I was like 6.5 weeks pregnant. So he was just over the moon. And I was just like, crap. And because my daughter was only a year old, so we had 3 kids under 2 when they were born, and he worked away. So I was just like, how am I going to do this? Eventually the idea was like, oh yeah, awesome, cool. But at first I was definitely feeling very overwhelmed
about the pregnancy with the twins and what that was like, what the appointments like, and if you want to take us through there.
I ended up finding a doctor in my area that did share care with our tertiary hospital, so didn't have to travel up there every appointment, which was great. And he was just amazing compared to my first experience with the private obstetrician. Any routine tests that I needed to have, he would actually talk through them and talk about the benefits and the risks of them, not just a, here, you need to do this sort of thing. So it was a totally different experience. Going up to the tertiary hospital and the appointments up there were crap because you drive an hour up there and then sit in the waiting room for 3 hours until you see someone, which was just draining. But the pregnancy went well. I didn't have any complications. Basically a dream twin pregnancy.
What were the positions of the twins towards the end?
So I had fraternal twins. So twin A was head down, ready to go, and twin B was in breech position. So sort of like a yin yang.
And they were happy for you to go for a vaginal birth?
Yeah.
Scenario?
Yep. The obstetrician at the tertiary hospital that I saw each time was just like, yep, as long as twin A stays head down, basically twin B should just follow the path out. And as terrible as it sounds, the birth canal has been opened by twin A, so it would be easier for twin B to come through. And actually told me they would let me wait until 40 weeks if I carried that far, which scared the heck out of me.
I can imagine. So you felt fairly supported, actually.
Yeah, in absolutely.
Twin pregnancy and any issues about BMI that, you know, that you felt were affecting your first birth and how that sort of panned out. Nothing was brought up this time around.
No, it didn't come up at all.
Well, that's great. Do you want to tell us about how the birth went?
At my 38-week appointment, my shared care doctor in my area told me to make sure that I packed my bags when I went up to the tertiary hospital because they wouldn't let me come home. So I was all set to be induced once I got there, going, I'm 38 weeks pregnant with twins. I am so ready for this to be over. And I got there and I think I worked myself up a bit in the waiting room. And when I saw the obstetrician, he told me my blood pressure was high. And I remember saying, good, please induce me.
You were over it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he sort of said, oh, okay, we'll send you for monitoring. In the monitoring, the midwife said to me, it's like every time the lady next door to you cries, your blood pressure goes up. So you're doing this to yourself.
Oh, wow. She's
like, but actually you're fine. And I'm like, damn it. And I was just so worried that I was going home still pregnant, as silly as that sounds.
Was that because you were just really, this was a twin pregnancy and you were really just feeling it so much more, like the
work
and the effects of the pregnancy?
Yeah, I think that, and just the fact that everyone had told me that I would go early. So I didn't even expect to still be pregnant at 38 weeks. So I think it was just me being caught up, hey, I shouldn't be pregnant anymore. I was still relatively well and coping really well considering that there was two babies in there. So I think it was more just that I had been told the whole pregnancy, you won't make it to term. And it just goes to show you how much that outside influence affects.
Yeah, that the default position with twins seems to be this preterm delivery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Often in the absence of any medical indicators for the need of that. So what ended up happening in the end?
Oh, sorry.
stay at the hospital, or did you push for induction? Where did you go to from there?
So that night we ended up seeing a different doctor and he asked me how I felt about induction and I said, yes, please. So they did end up sending me home because it wasn't emergent, but got me up in the next 2 days to start the induction process. So it was a long few days with driving and went up the next night and they were going to start the induction with the balloon catheter and told my husband he would have to go home. But we actually had big, huge storms that night. So I negotiated for him to stay because I was so worried he wouldn't make it back again if anything started, because they told me again, like it's just second pregnancy, second birth, the induction could start things off really quickly. So I was freaking out.
Yeah, interesting. And so that you've been induced in your first birth, but you're still willing to do induction again for this one.
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening and why were they choosing actually the balloon catheter to do the induction?
I think, again, just because it wasn't emergent, everyone was still happy and healthy. It was pretty much just, well, classed as a social induction at that point. Had the catheter put in that night. And like little contractions started and that sort of thing. And it fell out a couple of hours later. So it usually falls out when you're like 3 centimeters dilated. And then we all went to sleep and the next morning got up and they broke my waters probably about 7:30. And at that point, because of the position of the twins, twin B still being head up, I was very, very heavily recommended I have an epidural placed in case they would have to rotate her internally. So I ended up consenting to the epidural. So they did that as soon as my waters were broken in the morning. And from then they started the Syntocin drip. So,
and did you start having frequent contractions from there after the trip?
Yeah, I think like having a fully physiological birth now, the contractions from being induced are so very different. So they definitely got fairly intense quickly. And again, having all the risks put into you at that point, being two babies, that my midwife was like, press the epidural, just use it now because it's going to get worse. So I ended up just using the epidural. So I didn't feel a lot of it.
Did you feel like they had faith in you being able to vaginally deliver the babies?
Or? No, not really. I mean, everyone was very supportive in that room. I actually had one midwife that was from Fitzroy Crossing who was down sort of like on a training block, and she had never seen twins before, and she was absolutely beautiful. She actually finished her shift and ended up coming back after doing some errands. I felt very supported by her, but the other ladies were very much just like, oh, well, this is what's going to happen sort of thing, and they were just sort of going through the motions. I felt a lot more supported in the way that there was always somebody in the room, because that didn't happen during that first birth experience. We were left alone a lot of the time, but they weren't overly friendly or helpful, or there was no suggestion of even changing positions on the bed or anything like that.
On your back for the whole labor.
Yeah, I think the end of the bed was down, so sort of semi-reclining seated position.
Was it a quick labor like your last birth?
Yeah, definitely. And I know that some of that is contributed to being induced and on the drip, but still, so my waters were broken, about 7:30 in the morning, and I had a baby by 5 o'clock that afternoon. So still fairly quickly considering it was an induction.
Did your baby need any assistance? Did he come out easily?
So this is where it gets exciting. So when we got to the pushing stage, his heart rate actually dropped quite low. So we were actually raced off to theatre for twin A's delivery, thinking that I would have a Caesar for him. But once we got there, I think that break in coach pushing as well, his heart rate came back up and everything settled down. So after I'd actually had the spinal block, they decided to let me try and push him out, which was a bit tricky when you can't feel anything, but managed to have an assisted vaginal delivery for twin A. So he was born, we had a bit of a cuddle and stuff, and he went over into the little crib on the side of the room, and then it was sort of time to try and get twin B out. And she had turned from breech into a transverse position, so sideways across my uterus. So they tried to turn her externally for a little while, and then also tried to like grab her legs or her head or something to try and rotate her internally, but they could only grab her arms. So obviously she can't come out that way. And after almost half an hour, they sort of went, well, what do you want to do? And by that time I sort of went, just get her out, and consented to a C-section.
Were you feeling exhausted by that point?
Absolutely.
You'd obviously been through one vaginal delivery. Were you fearful, about them not being able to get her out vaginally? And also, were you sort of fearful at that time? Or
I was actually still in really good spirits. Like my first birth, C-section was like worst case scenario. But I think knowing it was twins and having like all those risks drilled into me from early on, just the fact that I was able to try and have a vaginal delivery, I was happy with. So I had let go of all that sort of expectation. And if that's how she needed to be born, I was okay with that. I was definitely exhausted though. There was one point, like being as drugged up as you are in theatre, I was watching the screen on the ultrasound and then had this like moment where I went, that's the doctor's hand inside my uterus. And had a sort of like, holy heck moment. That's not cool.
So what happened after that? What happened following that?
So I had the C-section.
Discovered she was transverse then, and she wasn't sort of descending anymore.
There was no way she was going to come out while I was in like incapacitated, basically. I couldn't move, so there was no way she was going to move. So I let's have a C-section. And about 4 minutes after that, she was born. It was very quick from the moment I'd sort of consented to that. She had a little bit of trouble. She had a lot of mucus and stuff. And once they brought her over to me and sort of tipped her up, she coughed all that up and it all came out. And she was fine after that. Even though they were both fine, no special care at all. And I didn't see them until after I came out of recovery. And I don't have any recollection of that time of going to recovery at all.
you didn't have any skin on skin with either of them?
No, not at all.
There was no medical reason to have them separated from you apart from the fact that you were obviously heavily medicated and needed to go into recovery.
Yep, yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Yeah. And how long did you spend from that time in recovery?
It would have been a couple of hours because I know it was very dark when I got up to the ward, and pretty much my husband got kicked out quite quickly after I was up there because the visiting hours were over. So yeah, that first night, like, I still couldn't move out of bed, sort of thing. And being a mum already, when your baby's crying, you don't feel like you need to call somebody else to come and get your baby. So I actually remember leaning over the side of bed and grabbing the blankets and sort of like the stork carries babies, putting the babies in bed with me so I could sort of comfort them and feed them and stuff, because there was nobody around.
Sounds like it was a bit under-resourced as well there.
Yeah, possibly.
It doesn't really make sense in that case for them to be sending partners home, because a partner could obviously assist you.
Absolutely.
There,
yeah.
If there is sort of a pull out there, you know, somewhere for them to be, yeah, and they can sort of assist you. So it sort of helps staff in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Even, again, just to pass the babies over, just to have him there for that would have been amazing, because I know while I was doing it, I sort of said to myself, if anybody walks in right now, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. But I wanted my babies. I hadn't held them.
Did you have pain from the Caesar as well, like your stomach pain? How was that?
Still had the epidural in place. So they were putting morphine through the morphine, pethidine, something like that, through the epidural site. So it wasn't too bad. But I actually asked for them to take that out the next day because I could feel the medication going in and it was a really horrible sensation. So it was just put on like Tramadol or whatever it is. But that made me hallucinate.
Yes. Okay. We've just spoken recently to someone else who had this experience.
I'm not alone. It really wasn't a pleasant feeling at all, but it was really weird.
How long did you end up staying in the hospital?
We ended up staying in there for a week. With my first birth, my milk took a long time to come in. Like at a week, I still didn't have breast milk. So we swapped to formula.
Did you feel that you were supported enough in hospital with breastfeeding that first time?
Yeah, or
did
not at
you
all.
Feel, okay.
I could have pushed through a couple of more days and I think we would have been all right, but I just didn't have that knowledge or support. So yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
And this time around, even though I was tandem feeding and then pumping in between feeds, it still took a good 5 days for my milk to come in. So they dropped a bit of weight in those first few days. And I sort of refused to give them formula because I knew it was coming. I could see that I was pumping stuff out. So really pushed for them to stay on just breast milk. I mean, I had a Caesar and that sort of stuff. So it's not uncommon, but it was still frustrating putting in that much work, like tandem feeding and then expressing every hour. I remember in the middle of the night, probably on the third or fourth night, there was a midwife in there and she was talking about her daughter. And I just broke down. I said, I've got a 20-month-old at home. I can't express like this around the clock. And she was the only sort of person that went, it's okay not to.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think there was almost too much pressure to feed them in that environment. Yeah.
And that's also interesting because there seems to be this pressure to not only breastfeed but then to pump and substitute and top up, and it's sort of like doubling up on the work when you do
Absolutely.
That because you've got the energy it takes to expend breastfeeding them physically, and then you're doing another lot of breastfeeding with the pumping and
yeah, all of absolutely
that.
And it caused oversupply. Like as soon as my milk came in, it would just pour out and it was too fast for the two little babies, and it caused issues for when my milk came in. My little boy had a testicular hernia. So the night we came out of one hospital, he went straight into the children's hospital and had an op on his hernia. So I only ended up taking one baby home. And the amount of milk that I had was just ridiculous.
Wow. So what did you do? What ended up happening with your son? How long did he have to stay in the children's hospital for?
It was only overnight, super quick routine little hernia op. I ended up leaving him with some expressed breast milk and stuff like that. And just because we'd been in the hospital so long, I just needed to go home. And like, it was hard leaving him there, but I knew it was just for the, well, it, we left him there at 8 o'clock at night, picked him up at 8 o'clock the next morning. So it was only 12 hours, but it was not a nice feeling. Mm. I can't imagine parents that have to leave them there for extended stays. It'd be so hard.
When you, I guess, left hospital, what was that like? Well, the experience when your son came home with your young daughter and the twins, and how are you feeling in that postpartum period? Did you experience any things like the baby blues, or any thoughts about how your birth went and all that sort of thing? Was that on your mind?
Coming home experience was just absolutely amazing. We had brought my daughter like a little twin set of dolls and things like that, and she was very excited to meet the babies. So coming home was absolutely beautiful. And by that stage, I'd had almost a week to recover. So I was off all pain medications. I could walk around quite easily. I was doing really quite well physically. I had a day in the hospital where I definitely had baby blues. We actually had a fire in the hospital while we were there.
And thank goodness.
Yeah. And thankfully, my husband was there at the time. But the elevators and everything were down. So 2 days after the Caesar, we had to carry two babies down three flights of stairs and sit outside for probably 4 or 5 hours while the hospital was cleared. So the day after that, I cried all day.
Aww. Yeah.
And I think it would have just been like that day where the hormones sort of settle in and you have that emotional day anyway. But I remember saying to one of the midwives, I promise I really am okay. I just need to cry.
Did you know you wanted to have another baby at this point in time, in at any time in your early sort of postpartum period, or was it something that kind of came to you later?
Definitely later.
Yeah.
Having the three little ones, it was just about surviving the day, pretty much like any new mum. But yeah, it definitely took me a fair bit longer to go, hey, I want another baby.
It's pretty good that you even went there.
Well, because the twins are fraternal as well, knowing that there was another, a fairly good chance that there'd be two again, definitely made me wait longer, I would say. But once I had made that decision, I sort of went, nope, it's only going to be one this time. We'll be fine.
You took your chances.
Yeah, absolutely. My husband, took him a long time to convince. He's a bit older than myself, so for him it was like, I'm too old and all of that sort of stuff. But once I got a yes out of him, it was good.
And in terms of like your birth, ideal birth, did you have that in mind, like maybe this is my chance to have the home birth that I was thinking about having, you know, prior? Was that on your
mind? Yeah, absolutely, definitely. I didn't know how that would happen, like considering I'd had a C-section. I didn't know if that was even achievable or anything like that, but I just wanted to be left alone. I knew that I could do it by myself, and having so much intervention in both the births, I just wanted that experience where I could just let my body do its thing. And I remember saying to a friend, if that means I have to go out in the bush and squat under a freaking tree, I will.
You were determined this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, did you have any like reflections on your birth? Because it's quite a unique experience, you know, with the twins, having a vaginal birth and then having the cesarean right after for your second baby. Did you have any reflections on that birth and, you know, look back and think I might have done something differently? Or was that, or did you feel like that birth, it was meant to happen the way it did?
Yeah. For a long time, I looked back and said, if I could change anything, it would be having the epidural, because I always have the, well, if I could have gotten up and moved around, who knows if she would have changed position and things like that. And like I said, I was very, very heavily recommended. It wasn't totally free will to have that epidural, but I wouldn't have gone on to do what I do now if I hadn't had that birth. And I wouldn't describe it as traumatic at all, even though when I tell the story, I go, you know what, that should have been really traumatic, but it just wasn't, because I was involved in the experience and I was asked how I felt the whole time. And like I said, the lady who was on her learning block actually came into theatre with me. So I had someone that had been there from the beginning of the induction with me the whole time. And she wasn't in a role as a midwife sort of thing. So I felt okay emotionally about the whole experience. It was probably about 4 years when I decided I wanted another baby. I discovered quite early about private midwives. There was only one that actually serviced my area, and still her offices were up in Perth, which is just over an hour to get to. So for my antenatal appointments, I actually had to travel up to her. But I was just excited that there was someone who was willing to come here and help me plan that home birth.
What made you decide to pursue a home birth over the hospital? Even though you sort of said that hospital birth, it wasn't terrible. You felt in control and all the rest of it.
Yeah. It just felt more aligned from the beginning of my like mothering journey, and the fact that I hadn't been able to experience it. I was just more determined to go, yeah, we're birthing at home this time. My husband was a bit fearful because of everything that had happened with the previous two births. But once he sort of met the midwife and asked her all the questions that he needed to ask and realised the amount of equipment that she brings in case of an emergency and all of that sort of stuff, he was definitely on board.
In your preparation for the home birth, did you have any contingency plans in place, or were you thinking, will I transfer to hospital in case of this, or had any of that been discussed? Or
absolutely, especially because I'd had a visa before. I had a booking appointment with a hospital just to sort of, you know, if anything popped up during the pregnancy that would risk me out of birthing at home, there was a plan of where I would go. And I actually chose the tertiary hospital an hour away over our local hospital.
Really?
But even that booking in appointment, the obstetrician I saw told me that I was playing roulette with mine and my baby's lives by choosing to birth at home, and that she would welcome me back to her office whenever I decided to change my mind.
Did you want to take us to your third pregnancy, how that unfolded? Did you have any complications for that pregnancy at all?
Yeah, no, not at all. I chose not to do like the glucose testing or a lot of the testing that might risk me out of home birth if they came back in positive or anything like that, which my midwife was totally on board with. We just monitored my sugars in my urine and stuff like that, and she was more than happy with my decision. I felt ridiculously supported the whole way through. There were a couple of times where she said, like, if we birth at home, and I would correct her and I'd say when we birth at home, which really annoyed me. But other than that one appointment with the obstetrician at the backup hospital, it was just amazing. It was a totally different experience. The continuity of care with a midwife is just freaking amazing, because she doesn't ask you all the same questions every time you go see her. She knows who you are. She knows your kids. Yeah, it was a totally different experience.
Did you do anything to prepare for this birth that was different than maybe how you might have prepared for the others? Like physically or mentally?
I went to the chiro more often, but that's because I had quite bad, I can't think of the word for it right now, but pelvic pain.
Pelvic girdle pain?
Yeah, that, basically. Yeah. So I was going to the chiro quite often, and that was just a godsend because I could actually walk. But otherwise, I was just determined. I didn't need any mental preparation because I had that belief in my body. I knew I could do it. I had given birth twice before. I just wanted to be left alone to just do it.
Were you at all worried about the possibility of uterine rupture during your home birth?
Yeah, not at all. And I'm not really sure why that didn't play on my mind at all. I think it was because my midwife quite early on explained to me, because I had twins, my uterus was stretched a lot more than it would with one baby. So when they've done my C-section, it would have actually been lower in my uterus because like it was so stretched. So with one baby, that scar wouldn't come as stretched as it would have been with two, sort of thing. I don't know if that's true or if it even makes sense, but in my mind I was like, yep, cool, no problems, and didn't really think of it again.
And you felt supported as well?
I was very selectful of who I told, only because I think it's still, especially where I lived at the time, like I said, she was the only midwife that would even service my area, so it definitely still wasn't the normal thing to do. But my husband, our school community was amazing. They actually had said to me, if you need us to bring the kids home, just let us know and stuff like that. And I had one good friend, from the moment that I told her I was pregnant, she said to me, oh, I'm going to be there and I'm going to catch this baby. So she was basically my doula. So yeah, I definitely had support around me.
So do you want to tell us about how this labor unfolded?
So I had 2 days of like prodromal, I think that's how you say it, labor, like early labor. So contractions pretty much 7 minutes apart, enough to make you sort of stop in your tracks, but I knew it wasn't sort of active labor at that point.
And how many weeks were you?
At that point, I was over 40 weeks. So 40 plus five, I would have been when these ones started. So I sort of just let everybody know that birthing time would be soon, but not yet sort of thing. It was tricky though, because there were often enough that I couldn't sleep. But yeah, I just sort of set up a little nest in our lounge room and rested when I could. But by the end of the second day, I was pretty exhausted and jumped in our bath and filled it up. And I remember every time it would get cold, I'd let some water out and put more hot water in. So I was in there for hours. And my husband came in and then he said to me, "You need to get out." And I'm like, "No, when I get out, it's going to hurt." Just had that instinctual knowledge that it was going to be on once I got out of the bath. And I talked to my midwife that morning and said, "Oh, you know, same thing. Nothing's really progressing. Nothing's happening. I'll talk to you tomorrow," and that sort of stuff. I think it was my 41 week appointment was the next day. So I knew that I was seeing her the next day anyway. So everything was pretty chilled. Yeah, just sat in the bath for hours, covered myself in rose oil, hoping that that would sort of help things along, because I hate Clary Sage.
Oh.
When I eventually dragged myself out of the bath, I sat on the edge of my bed and just full-blown, very intense contractions happened straight away. I think I managed to put a crop top on and that was it. My friend, who I said before had told me she would be at my birth, had dropped in that morning and she had a few appointments she had to go to and said she'd be back in the afternoon. So at probably this point, when I was having very frequent, quite intense contractions, I told my husband to call the midwife and he rang her and said, "What do you want me to tell her?" And I couldn't speak to him. Yeah, it was very intense really quickly at that point. So he's just like, "I don't know. I think you need to come, but I don't know if you can't talk to me." My friend dropped in and she's like, "Oh, okay, I guess I'm staying." And I'm like, "Yes." And my husband went off to fill the birth pool. And I remember standing in my bathroom with my forehead on the tap because it was cold and I could concentrate on that rather than on the contractions. Those really intense ones lasted about an hour before they sort of calmed down a bit. Yeah, with my knowledge that I have now, I'd say that was definitely like that
transition.
Thank you. I haven't finished my coffee.
Did you reach transition pretty quickly then? Do you feel like it progressed a lot faster than the previous two births?
Oh, definitely. It felt like I just went sort of straight into transition from those like really mild prodromal labor contraction sort of thing. I had a bit of a break as I got out of the bath, but then it was on. There was no
This is the first time you were laboring in your home environment as well. Yeah. Do you think that was definitely the
absolutely
change?
Absolutely. There was no worry about we'd have to go to the hospital. There was no worry about being 41 weeks. It was just like, "Oh, call me when things start happening," because they probably will soonish. But yeah, it was just the only thing I was concerned about was in that first birth, my blood pressure, my heart rate went up quite a lot. It wasn't mentioned the second time around, but I thought it was possibly a pain thing, and having the epidural in the twins' birth might have stopped that. So I was just concerned that, like, having no medicated pain relief at home, that my heart rate and my blood pressure would go up again. But once the midwife got here, they were the first things she checked and they were absolutely fine. So after that, my mind just went, "Cool, awesome, let's just do this."
How are you coping with the pain?
Amazingly. Like, when I look back, even my husband, he's like, "Oh, you just popped that baby out." But considering I'd had pain relief both times before, really, really, really well. Like, the relief when I got in the water from the pool was absolutely amazing. But my midwife at one point actually asked to do a vaginal exam, because she actually said to me, "You're handling this so well, I don't know if you're actually in active labor." And I think because, like, my support that I knew were there, and when the contraction stopped, like, there was no pain. I could laugh and I could joke and build that natural oxytocin just by having those people around and being in my environment. So I can understand why she might have believed it wasn't as intense as it actually was, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm actually quite interested to know, because you did mention, I feel like this is going to be a spoiler, but you didn't have any back pain.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
Okay.
And because baby was born posterior as well. So everyone sort of like all those stories that you hear is, oh, posterior babies take so long. They're so painful. You'll have back pain and all of this sort of stuff. So I don't know if it's because I didn't know that he was posterior. And again, just that mind over matter sort of thing. But to me, it was just like, awesome, we're birthing and we're at home. I was so excited to just finally not have to go to hospital. Like I hadn't even packed a bag in case we were transferring, nothing. I was birthing at home. And I mean, if it was a true emergency, I would have packed some stuff and gone. But in the lead up, there was just no doubt in my mind that that's what we were doing. And I figure if it's emergency, you're not going to need any of the stuff that's going to be in a bag anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So tell us then, you got in the pool. That was where you were feeling really good. That was your good spot. Did you feel like you were close to pushing? You know, what were those sort of sensations like towards the end?
Yeah, so once I got in the pool, it was when my midwife asked to do an exam. I'd only been in there around 20 minutes. And I think like the signs that things were moving along were quite clear. I was definitely becoming more vocal during contractions and felt like I needed to have someone close. I needed to hold hubby's hand sort of thing. So, but the backup midwife was over an hour away. So she asked if she could examine me just to see where things were. So I hopped out of the pool and did a vaginal exam. And she's like, oh, actually, you're complete. And my waters broke while she was doing the exam. So it was very quick from when those first contractions started to being fully dilated sort of thing. And once the waters were broken and I got back in the pool, the pressure to start bearing down built up very quickly.
And did you feel the urge to push at that point?
Not straight away. I'd say it was probably another 20, 30 minutes. It got to that point where it was just uncontrollable. I don't think I was actually pushing. It was just happening. It was amazing. Yeah, I had hold of hubby's hands. All the kids were around and just sort of coming and going as they please sort of thing. And I remember as his head was being born, I became quite vocal and everyone, like I could feel all the kids just sort of stop and everyone just went, it's okay. And they were fine again. So they were all fine, which made me fine because, you know, you're always going to be conscious of your other kids, especially because they were 6 and 8 at the time. So even though I was not like aware of my surroundings, they were always in the back of my mind. His head was born and I can't explain to you if it felt different because I don't remember that feeling of when the other babies were born because of the pain medication, but I don't remember feeling like that ring of fire that people talk about. I know his head was born in a couple of contractions, so it was quite slow. And then once his head was born, we had another sort of pause in between contractions and his body was born within the next one. That felt like it took forever, especially knowing that he was under the water. Everyone was like, no, I could hear them chatting in the background. You know, he's fine. Everything's great. But I was just like, come on, contraction. Want this baby out.
Were you worried because his head was in the water for so long? Is that's what you're saying?
I don't think it was worry. It was just more impatience. His head was born. I knew it was happening. It was just having to wait for the next contraction so I could bear down and have his body. Because even though, like, I tried in between those contractions, but he wasn't going to go anywhere.
And did your midwife tell you that your baby's posterior at this point?
No, I didn't know until years later.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. It was only because I was watching birth videos and things on Instagram of a lady who was in the same position I was when I gave birth. And I sort of went, hold on, my baby wasn't that way up. And went back and looked at my birth photos. And I'm like, he was posterior.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So even after the birth, I didn't actually realize. So like I said, his head was born. I was leaning over the side of the pool on my knees at that moment. And as his body came out, I sort of went over the top of him and reached down into the water and pulled him out. And it's funny, I was only telling a friend yesterday, I couldn't actually see into the water at that point because of the amniotic fluid and stuff. It was really cloudy. But just somehow instinctually managed to grab him out and lift him out of the water sort of thing. Whereas before that, speaking about who would catch the baby, I couldn't comprehend sort of doing that myself. But yeah, the instincts in that moment were just so strong.
Oh, that's so interesting. Oh, so how did you feel when he was on your chest?
I honestly think it was disbelief at first, because even looking back at the photos, I can't say that I looked overjoyed or anything. Obviously I was, but I think I was still in disbelief because it happened so quickly. And just the fact that he was there, and I couldn't have planned it or envisioned it in any other way than it happened, sort of thing. It was just freaking amazing. And then sort of the after pain started for the placenta to come out. So I have that grimacing look on my face for the rest of the photos. So there's none that I look really overjoyed in, but I'm sure I was.
That's amazing.
Was the placenta just naturally delivered?
Yeah, it was naturally delivered. I was still in the pool at that stage. My six-year-old son actually jumped in the pool with us as soon as the baby was born. And then, yeah, had a bit of a separation bleed and birth the placenta while we were still in the pool, had skin to skin and like breastfed and everything still in the pool. And I think it would have been probably an hour maybe later that I ended up getting out, just lying on the couch. I ended up having the injection when I went to go get in bed because I felt a bit faint, but my midwife was confident I hadn't had like any major blood loss or anything. So I think it was just a combination of like experiencing that different, like the physiological birth third stage compared to like a managed third stage, and the fact that I hadn't slept for 2 days. I think it was just a combination of all of that that was making me feel faint rather than actual blood loss.
In your first birth, you had a managed first stage? Third stage.
Yeah, I actually don't remember that. It just happened. And then, of course, with the twins being in theatre, it was definitely managed. So my midwife had spoken to me that I might feel like I was bleeding more with the physiological third stage, and it wasn't particularly heavy or anything like that. And again, like none of the warning signs were there that I'd had an extreme blood loss or anything. I just didn't feel well.
So you're just feeling a little bit faint after the birth, but other than that, there were no complications. Baby was fine, obviously.
Yeah.
What would you say would be the main difference between this birth and your hospital births? I mean, the obvious that fine. In terms of how you felt about it and how the birth was.
The no complications, I was just feeling faint and needed a bit of help to get up to actually come into bed from the lounge room. I didn't have any tearing. Again, baby was posterior. He was over 10 pounds, so 4.5 kilos. Yeah. So huge in comparison to my other babies. Pretty much the twins' combined birth weight.
That is so amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And especially when I'd had the 4th-degree tear in the first birth, it was something that I had expected.
Mm. About your second birth, I forgot to ask you actually, because your baby was born vaginally in the twins, the first baby. Yep. Was there any tearing there?
I don't know. I know that sounds really strange, but I don't know. There's nothing noted in my notes that I had any tearing. And I mean, I was sore because I'd had a vaginal delivery, but nothing was mentioned to me at the time. And I can't find any evidence that I had to have stitches at all. So I don't know.
That's interesting. And so amazing. You just didn't have any tearing at all.
That's it. And we actually didn't believe the midwife that he weighed as much as he did. After she went home, we actually got out the kitchen scales and reweighed
just to double check.
Because I was like, no way I can birth a bloody 4.5 kilo baby in the lounge room.
Oh wow, that's amazing. Wow. So what was this recovery period like for you? That must have been nice.
It was just amazing to be able to see my husband whenever I wanted to, because he wasn't an hour away. All the kids could come and go as they please. I pretty much stayed in bed for the first 4 days, and the midwife visited every day for those 4 days. So we had any support that we needed with breastfeeding, any sort of questions that arose or any concerns I had, I could ask her every single day when she came in, or I could call her if I felt I needed to. Having that one-on-one care opposed to somebody, I know she had other clients at that point, but having someone who had such a big workload as someone in the hospital was just completely different.
With regards to maybe giving some advice to other mothers out there, it's a bit shocking that in your first birth, your BMI played such a role in determining where you're going to birth. What advice do you have to mothers who may be experiencing this? limitations on their birth preferences because of their weight?
And it would definitely be to look at all your care provider options, because for me it was very much just a well, this is who you need to go and see, this is what you need to do, and I didn't know any better. Even if you can't birth in your local hospital or if you can't birth at home, there are still options about your care, like hiring a private midwife to come with you into the hospital or going through the community midwifery program as a high-risk patient and things like that. So you'll still have continuity of care. I mean, I know I'm a doula, but I will always advocate for having that independent support of someone who you can just talk through all your options with, because a lot of the time only one or two options are given and it's not the whole picture. And just being able to make a decision knowing all the options really makes like a big difference mentally, even if the birth doesn't go as planned or anything like that.
That's really good advice. And your midwife, obviously, like the last care provider, do they even weigh you? Like,
no, not at all.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I would have been a lot heavier in my like that birth than I was in the previous two. Aww. It was 6 years later, sort of thing. And it was never an issue. And when I told her how much I weighed at our very first appointment, she was like, oh, you hold your weight very well.
Oh, wow.
She was just lovely, sort of thing. Yeah, it was never an issue. It was never a concern, never brought up after that first question. And whereas in the hospital setting, it was every appointment you were weighed. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear. And I hope that women listening will learn a lot from your experience. In terms of longer term recovery, how are you feeling now? Physically, are you feeling well?
Yeah, definitely. I still have, it's funny, from the second birth, having the epidural, I actually have a patch on one of my thighs that is completely numb still. And talking to my chiropractor about that, she says it'll probably never come back, and definitely contributes that to either the epidural or this like nerve damage from the C-section, which I didn't actually even know could have been like a possibility. And it doesn't affect me in any way because of where it is, but just again, something for people to be mindful of going into those sort of situations. But otherwise, my son's 5, he still occasionally breastfeeds to sleep, so our breastfeeding journey this time has been completely different.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. I've tried to wean him so many times, but he just loves Milky, and it breaks my heart that he gets so upset if I mean we're definitely coming to the end. I told him when he turns 5, like, there was no more. And there has been some nights where he's like, please. So he has like 2 sips and then goes to sleep. But considering we have such short breastfeeding journeys with the other kids, that side of it has been just beautiful to be able to continue on so long.
Wow, that's truly amazing.
There's been lots of times where I would have liked to give up, especially I think around 2, he started asking for it like more often than a newborn, and that was really taxing, and I'm like, oh no, I am done with this. But just persevering through that stage, the rest has been great.
Your motherhood journey so far has now inspired you to do the work that you do into dueling, and now how many years now have you been practicing as a doula?
I've just had my 3rd anniversary, so 3 years.
Oh, that's great.
So if you'd like to connect with Kirsten, you can. We'll put her Instagram and Facebook details in the show notes if you'd like to reach out to her. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for coming on the show and for your willingness to share your story. You were one of the first people who contacted us when we launched the podcast, so it was great to finally chat to you. And I know that a lot of our listeners will take away a lot from your story. So thank you.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this VBAC story. If you like the show, please subscribe and feel free to leave a review. If you would like to connect with us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for VBAC Birth Stories. If you have a question or you'd like to express interest in sharing your personal story, email us at vbacbirthstories@gmail.com. VBAC Birth Stories is a podcast where we share women's lived experiences. Please be advised that it's not intended to replace medical advice. If you have any concerns at all during your pregnancy, please always speak to your healthcare provider.